Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At. This is episode 116, and happy Black History Month. For this episode, I'm going to give you some books and podcasts and some documentaries you might want to check out for Black History Month, really throughout the year. They're not really like a top five, just some joints I wanted to throw out there. And I also want to talk about, you know, this idea of Black trauma and streaming services, especially in the movies. Word, check it out. Killer Tape At, B. For episode 116 of Where My Killer Tape At, I'm drinking once again from Around the Bend Beer Company, a Vera Pistachio Cream Ale, but I got the 16 ounce can. I had this a while back, and I think I mentioned it on the show, and somehow it came back into my radar, but as a 16 ounce can, so I copped it because it was so good, and I love it, man. Word is born. Thank you. Shout out to the Barrel House, for real, for real. Real quick before we go on, the choices that I made for these picks, you know, for books, podcasts, and documentaries, there's several more that are really dope. If you listen to my podcast, you will hear me talk about other documentaries and other books, and other podcasts that are dope. And these are just some ones that come right at the top of my head when I think of them. Somebody was to walk up to me in the street, these are the ones I would hit them with. Not to say that they're better than everything else. Not to say that there aren't any better ones out there. There probably are. But this is just real quick. One thing I want to do for a quick episode. In the future, I'll probably do episodes that focus on one of those topics, like one on podcasts, one on books, and one on documentaries. But again, I just wanted to be clear. I'm not saying it is definitive and these are the best of. But these are just some joints you might want to check out. I appreciate y'all. Word. Now let's get to my favorite part. Books, libros. All right. Okay, so let me see. Where should I go? And again, this is not like in no order, no particular order, right? There's this one book, a textbook that I got. It wasn't a textbook. It's a book that I got for a college class that I think is really dope. It's from Slavery to Freedom by the late, great John Hope Franklin. I like this book because it's very easy to read. It's concise. It covers everything from pre-colonial Africa to the present. And it's all like in short essays, you know what I'm saying? And then in the back, he has like a really dope index and reference section where you can get a lot more dope stuff. John Hope Franklin put a lot of people on. He was a scholar. A lot of Black historians came up under him. He put a lot of people on. And I think he's a giant. So that's not the only book that he wrote, but that's like a book that you can use for like an introduction to African-American studies. You can use it in high school. It's really dope, easy read. I've never heard nobody like, I've heard people that don't even like reading. I mean, I learned a lot. So highly recommend it. My copy got stolen. I'm going to have to get a new one. But if you want to like a primer on African-American history from the continent of Africa to now, then definitely cop that book. Another one, I mentioned them earlier, James Baldwin, The Fire Next Time. What more cannot be said about this book? Like, this book is really dope. It's a short read. When somebody always asks me, you know, what James Baldwin book I should read, I recommend this one because it's a short read. And he writes, it's a letter to his nephew. You could tell that it's personal, but a lot of times it feels like he's writing to you. You know what I'm saying? But James Baldwin is a hell of a writer, but I always give that one. You can put it in your back pocket. It's real simple to read. You can probably get it in a PDF, but I recommend that. Another one that I enjoy reading, it's a little bit heavy, but it's required reading in a lot of places. The Souls of Black Folk by W.E.B. Du Bois. W.E.B. Du Bois was another giant. Did a lot. I mean, oh my God, he did a lot. He passed away like in the late 60s. So he put in about 70 years of work, you know, so he's a G, he's an OG. Definitely, a god, you know what I mean? So Souls of Black Folk. And it's wild because when we talk about double consciousness, it's really about like code switching, you know, but it's something that he's been talking about long time, you know, and the things that he talks about in that book are still relevant today. The next book that I recommend is Asata by Asata Shakur. And she's currently living in Cuba. She was framed in the murder of a New Jersey state trooper, and she later escaped. So it's her story when she was in the Black Panther Party, later in the Black Liberation Army. So really dope. I mean, her writing is just beautiful. Like, she really wrote that book, man. It's just an amazing book. She mentions Afeni Shakur in there too, the late great Tupac's late great mom. So definitely check that out. Another one to read is the autobiography of Malcolm X's Told to Alex Haley. I think every black person should read this in the United States and in Canada. I really think they should. It's a big book, but you go right through it. Because, you know, Malcolm X is having a conversation. He's telling his story. He's telling his life story. I don't know anybody who walked away from this book saying, oh, I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? So highly recommend it. And then the last book is, of course, another giant, Zora Neale Hurston's. The last book that was published, it was published, you know, decades after her passing, and my book club actually read it, is Barracoon, quote unquote, The Last Slave. Really good book. You know, again, Zora Neale Hurston, you know, if I was to pick a book for you to read, it would be Their Eyes Are Watching God. But she writes like so much dope shit. Like, she's just dope. And but this one is really good. It read really well. I really enjoyed it. My book club enjoyed it thoroughly. We had great discussions about it. So those five right there, definitely check it out. You can probably get it. Please get it at a black-owned bookstore. Don't buy it from Amazon. Don't do that. Don't buy it from Amazon. Buy it from a black-owned bookstore. You got Sankofa in D.C. And I'm trying to remember the one that I use in Chicago. I'm going to put the links in the show notes, but there's one in Chicago that I definitely want to big up. Word. I know I'm always talking about books. There was a time when I watched a lot of documentaries. There was a time when I actually, you know, went to the movies to look at documentaries. That's something I seen in the theater. And then there was a time when I like collected DVDs. But I haven't really watched a lot of documentaries. I'm going to say the last 10 years, my documentary watching has declined dramatically. But I used to watch at least 3 a month, and now maybe watch maybe 10 a year. So shout out to Netflix. So Netflix and HBO Max, I think, honestly, Netflix has a lot of really dope documentary series. HBO Max is like right behind it. But anyway, I'm going to give you 5 dope documentaries to watch for Black History Month. And there's no particular order. But I think one that everybody should watch, and I think some of us watched it. There was a time when my generation, everyone in my generation, the subsequent generation watched this in school. And it's the Eyes on the Prize PBS documentary. They should make it just a series because it's 14 hours long. It's long, but it's really, 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 really good. Because it doesn't just cover like Martin Luther King. It really covers everybody from A. Philip Randolph to Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, they talk about the Sleeping Car Porters Union. They talk about everything. They get really in depth with it. They talk about Ella Baker. They interview a lot of people. They cover everything. Everybody, the Rainbow Coalition. I mean, they cover a lot of ground in 14 hours. You can probably find it on the PBS.org website. I'm pretty sure YouTube has it. And I know that I want to say PBS plays it every February. So definitely check that out. Another one that I enjoyed, and it came out, this one came out a couple years ago. The Black Power mixtape. I didn't get a chance to see this in the theaters because it was only in the theater near us for about a week. So I missed it. And I ended up watching. I can't remember where I watched it, but I watched it. No, I watched it on DVD. I got it from the library. But actually, Netflix has it, and it's the Black Power mixtape. And it's a documentary that was actually filmed back in the 60s and 70s, but it wasn't released until recently. And there's some really dope interviews with Angela Davis and Huey P. Newton in it. And it deals with, everybody from Kwame Ture and the Black Panther Party. Really, it's mostly about the Black Panther Party, but it deals with the quote-unquote Black Power era on the tail end of the Civil Rights Movement. Those terms are loaded, but we can talk about that some other time. Now, one of my favorite documentaries, I had this on DVD, and I keep it in my classroom. I loved it. It's probably one of my favorite. I went to the movies to see this. When We Were Kings by Leon Gast. And I remember when this first came out, I was just enthralled. I loved it. Muhammad Ali. If you want to introduce somebody to Muhammad Ali, this is a documentary to do it. There are people that have done a great job of acting as Muhammad Ali. But if you want to get like pure, Colombian fish scale Muhammad Ali, then you got to watch We Were Kings. And it's about the rumble in the jungle, the fight between him and Foreman in the Congo when Sesi Mobutu was the dictator of that country. Everybody's in it. James Brown, Don King. It's just really good. It's just such a dope. Man, I can't speak enough of it. I could watch it at any time. And it's just really dope. But Muhammad Ali really, really is just like, he was a character. Another one that was really big on Netflix, and that's by Ava DuVernay, is 13th. And it's about the 13th Amendment and the prison industrial complex. I think mostly everybody's watched this because I know, like, I watched it and then, like, everybody always asks me to this day, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? And yes, I have. Shout out to Michelle Alexander because she's featured in it. And her book, The New Jim Crow, really kind of like, I'm not saying she was the first one to talk about the prison industrial complex and how it works, but she's the one that like really threw it out there into the mainstream. And Ava DuVernay just picked it up and ran with it. So I recommend that one. And then the last one is by this wonderful director who really does a lot of dope shit, Raoul Peck. And that's spelled R-A-O-U-L. I might be saying it wrong. He's Haitian. And he did one on James Baldwin called I Am Not Your Negro. There's an accompanying book for it, which is okay. But the documentary is really dope. Again, if you want to see, I know a lot of us are used to seeing James Baldwin in audio video clips in YouTube and stuff like that and on Instagram. But, if you haven't read any of his books, but this is pretty much James Baldwin. Like, this is the essence of James Baldwin. In one shot. It's not even 2 hours, I think. Really good. Again, the editing is amazing. Raoul Peck is an amazing director. Like, just really all of these documentaries, they just have great editing, great cinematography, just really dope. And a lot of them have like footage that has never been seen before. Oh, now they have, but if you want to watch any of these, these are something to go to watch with your babies or watch with your students or watch with your study group or church. So definitely check those out. Initially, I plan on doing like a episode on Strictly Podcast, but I think the podcast I'm about to name, I talk about them consistently. I shout them out. I shout them out at the end of the show. I talk to them on my social media. So if you know me, you know who I fuck with. And you know what I mean? So like, I'm going to give you 5 black podcasts that you should be listening to right now as we speak. And if you're not doing it, then we're going to have beef, man. Like, these are all dope. The first one I want to big up is the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, starting Rod and Karen. They are dope. And let me just say this, like about 15 years ago, I used to listen to podcasts, but they were all Star Wars podcasts. They were all strictly Star Wars podcasts. And then like I had stopped listening to podcasts because I was on the road a lot for my job. I was driving like maybe 4 hours a day. So I used to listen to this before like smartphones, right? So what I would do is I would like download, I would burn podcasts onto my CDs for real. So then from there, I was like, it was just too much to do. So I was like, I'm just going to get audiobooks. So I listened to audiobooks that I got from the library and I would just listen to that. When I got back into listening to podcasts, I was looking for something to listen to, and I was finding stuff, and I just didn't like it. It was mad corny. And what happened was, the true story, I was Googling my name, and it ended up on Dr. Boyce Watkins' website. And he had a tab on black websites he used to follow, and he put my blog on there. I had a blog called Star Wars for Colored Folks that was, you know, about Star Wars for black people. And it was on there. And I was like, oh, shit, he had my shit on there. Then he had a tab that was for podcasts. And I clicked on that tab, and boom, the Black Guy Who Tips came up. So I started listening to the Black Guy Who Tips. Now, at the time, I didn't know, because before that, the podcasts I listened to, they were about 2 to 3 hours long. And so I assumed that everybody kept doing it. And Rod and Karen's podcast was 2.5 hours long. So I was like, man. But anyway, I listened to it. I really enjoyed it. This was about, man, I'm going to say this was about 6 years ago, 5 to 6 years ago. And then he hit me to, listening to their podcast, he hit me to, I take that back. I started listening to Combat Jack. And Combat Jack hit me to For All Nerds, which is, at that time, used to be called Fan Bros. I listened to that podcast. And they do strictly geek shit. Really dope. Love them. They're really, really dope. Shout out to DJ Benjamin. They're really, really fucking dope. So check out For All Nerds and all the shit they do. They're really dope. And see, this is the part that I can't remember. Who hit me to T with Q and J? Because I don't remember if it was the Blackout Who Tips podcast or For All Nerds. I want to say it was the Blackout Who Tips podcast because they was on his show. I don't remember. But T with Queen and J is one that That's my go-to. That's one that, like, I don't think I've ever heard an episode that I wasn't feeling. So shout out to T with Queen and J. I get a lot of ideas from them. They show me mad love, but they are fucking dope. Then from T with Queen and J, they hit me to the Inner Hope Uprising. And they are sex positive femmes that talk about sex positivity and sex education. I learned so much from Inner Hope Uprising. It is amazing. Like, man, like, I just learned so much from them. So definitely check out the Inner Hope Uprising. And yes, I'm a buy a hoodie. And the last one I listened to is Questlove Supreme. Now, let me just say this. Questlove, the drummer from The Roots, has the best industry stories. I think the only other person that could probably beat him was James Brown if he was still alive. And Bootsy probably does too. But he has the best industry stories. And he brings a lot of people on there. They talk about a lot of industry shit. And I learned a whole lot. I'm a historian. So Questlove Supreme is right up my alley. So those are the five I listen to, man. I really recommend it. I'm going to put them in the show notes. Definitely check them out. Show them love. Tell them Dan Trezombi sent you. Know what I mean? I know a lot of times we joke about how streaming channels will have, like, black voices or black cinema, and they'll have, like, all these, trauma porn. It's pretty much trauma porn. And, you know, people will say, you know, I'm tired of slave net movies and stuff like that, et cetera, et cetera. This is a touchy subject, because I know that for a lot of us, sometimes watching this form of trauma is triggering, right? Like, for example, like, I've been a victim of police brutality many times over, so movies that depict police brutality on black and brown people, it really bothers me. It really triggers me. And sometimes I got to push through the pain, and even if it's just for a short amount of time, and watch it. But if I know, like, I didn't watch that movie with Nate Parker, American Skin, because I know that in the beginning, his son is killed by the police in front of him. So, like, I know that's something that I really don't want to go through, so I'm not going to watch it. But here's the thing. The thing is that as traumatic as it is, and I'm not saying in no way, shape, or form am I saying that you have to watch it. If you don't want to watch it, you have the right to say, I don't want to watch it. You have the right to say, I am not paying my hard-earned money to watch this movie or support this. You have every right to do that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I have a lot of friends who are rape survivors, and they don't want to see a movie with rape in it, right? So I definitely won't take anybody to see that kind of movie, nor would I recommend it, right? But I know that when, for example, slave movies, that's part of our history. this part of the history of the United States. Like, I mean, there's movies about, and I'm not comparing this to World War II. There's movies about World War II. Well, let me say this. There's way too many movies and way too many documentaries and way too many stories about World War II. So maybe I need to use a different example. But it's part of the history of the United States. Whether the image being portrayed is real or not, right? It's part of the history of the United States. Our history here in the United States is that of slavery. It is that of repression. It is that of Jim Crow. Now, the question we need to be... So what I'm saying is that if we're going to do a movie about black people in the United States, depending on what time period, you're either going to be talking about slavery or Jim Crow. So should we make a movie avoiding that? So if I make a movie in the 1940s and say Chicago, Illinois, should I avoid this discussion of segregation? Or should I put it at the forefront? And I think that's where writing comes in, right? Where you can write certain stories where, like, for example, Sylvie's Love, right? It takes place in the 50s and 60s. There is structural racism in it, right? It's very subtle. It's more like an extra background character, right? I think that's a clever way of still putting that in there without being too overly traumatic, right? And I'm not saying every movie has to be that way, right? If I'm doing a movie about Selma, I definitely got to put in, the police brutality. There's no way for me to avoid it. I think when we watch movies, we have to ask ourselves two questions. The first one, who is the audience for this movie? Because let me just say this. There's a lot of movies about black people that are not made for black people. Hidden Figures is very inspirational. It's dope. The women in it, they just fucking kill it. All of them just destroy it, right? They have probably the best actors, out there now are in that movie, right? But that movie was made for the white gays. That movie was made for white people. It was made for white people to feel good, right? Because there's a scene where Kevin Costner's like, oh, I can't believe that you're running to the other side of the campus to use the bathroom. And he like goes down the hallway and he takes down the sign that says whites only. And he breaks it. And he's like, everyone's going to use this, you know. And this is like, yeah, Kevin Costner, yeah. And it's bullshit. That never happened. It's fucking bullshit, right? But that scene wasn't made for black people. That scene was made for white people. Even the scene where she goes to see the judge who wouldn't let her take this class that she needed for her, I think it was for her PhD or whatever. And she learns about this judge and says, she goes to the judge and she like pleads to the better angels of his nature, right? And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna let you do it. You know, it's fucking bullshit. You know, like, it's like saying, yeah, they're late racist light, you know, and as long as you try to talk to them and try to convince them, we could bring them over to our side. And that's not how racism works, unfortunately. You know, people wake up and they are racist. You know what I mean? It's not like they're raised that way, right? They're not like something happens to them and they're like, you know, I'm gonna be racist. They're raised that way. And, you know, and that's just, you know, and I know that in the 2-hour movie, you can't provide a solution to structural racism. I get it. So that's the first question you got to ask. You know, who's the audience, right? The second question we got to ask is, why, and actually it comes from the first one. When we have these movies about Selma, or we have these movies about 12 Years a Slave, why do we always have to have a white savior, right? Why do we always have to have a white person with redeeming qualities? And I get it. I know that Hollywood won't, there are stories about how Hollywood wouldn't do certain movies because there wasn't a white savior in it, or they asked the director or the screenwriters to put a white savior in it. I get it. You know, not saying that we should do it. And I don't even know if those stories are true or not. You know what I'm saying? But there's a movie I enjoy called Sankofa. All the white people in there are horrible. They just fucking horrible. Lovecraft Country. All the white people in there are fucking horrible. Sorry. That's, you know, but unfortunately, in most cases, if they weren't horrible, they were indifferent to the plight of black people in this country. And so we have to ask that. And again, it goes back to the first question, you know, like, who's the audience? Is this movie made for the white gaze? And I think that if we're clear about that, right, I can go see Hidden Figures and I can say, hey, I like it, but this movie wasn't made for me. This movie was made for white people to feel nice. And that's what we need to tackle, right? That slavery, Jim Crow, police repression, you know, COINTELPRO, all those things were bad. Those things were horrible. And white people just got to face that shit. And we need to have that discussion. Like, hey, look, man, even if y'all wasn't a part of it, y'all let that shit slide, because when we told y'all that was the truth and what was going on, y'all ignored us. So that's, you know, we need to do that. How do we do that? I don't know. But I will say this, that our history in this country is not a good one. You know, we have been oppressed and continue to be oppressed on so many different levels, and it's going to show up in cinema. Now, what we can do is we can ask for warnings. You know, so when I recommend a movie, I tell people, hey, this is in that movie. You know, there's children being killed. You know, there's women being raped, and there's police brutality. Like, let's let people know that before they see that. Let's give them that choice. You know what I'm saying? Maybe do trigger warnings. And I've seen some TV shows that do trigger warnings, and I think that's crucially important, because, again, a lot of us go to the movies to be entertained, and sometimes we'll need to see that. But at the same time, that's the truth. Those things happen. I hope this helps out. Word. For this episode, gotta do shout outs, right? Definitely gotta shout out the homie Frankie Perez. I'm waiting on your book to come through. I just ordered it. He just released the book out. I'm going to put the link in the show notes, so support that brother. He's a B-boy. I met him through the Next Level. I'm going to have him on the show. So I'm going to put the link in there, cop it. You know what I mean? We're going to talk. So there's no need for me to go on. Shout out to the homie, Dr. Sheena Howard. She's been a guest on the show. We're going to bring her back. She released Why Wakanda Matters. I'm going to put the link in there for that. I ordered that as well, so I should be getting it soon. And I'm definitely going to bring her back on the show. So, and then shout out to the homie, Sheree, for hooking me up with another book, Nnedi Okorafor's latest book. Shout out to you for that, man. I really, really appreciate it. Word. Once again, thank you, Party People, for rocking with me. Episode 116. If you want to continue discussion online, use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, and that's spelled K-I-L-L-A. Not killer, it's with an A, right? Definitely, I'm going to put a link in the show notes for my coffee mug. Please buy my coffee mug. I only sold 3 in 2020. I know it's hard out there, but it's a dope coffee mug, man. It has the cover of the show, so check it out. And if you want to hit me up on the Twitters, actually, if you want to book me for anything, all my information is on my website, omisbench, omisbench.com. And you can just hit me up there. All my contact information is there. But if you want to hit me up on the Twitters for the show, is actually for me, is Dan Trezomi, at Dan Trezomi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. Did I spell that right? Of course I spelled that right. Definitely hit me up. And, you know, y'all be safe, be easy, and happy Black History Month. Word.